Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting, go to pelican.com. The 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the153anglers.com. Now let's get this show started.
Ladies and gents, welcome back to the final cast. I'm one of your hosts, Josh.
And I'm the other idiot, Brad.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, what's up?
Brad's having some tooth pain, y'all. He's got to go to the dentist. He's got to get his tooth pulled.
Yeah, dude, it has been... I'm not going to bore anybody, but this whole process trying to get in because of all the shutdowns last year has been a pain in the ass.
Yeah, everything's backed up. Sometimes you got to really, though, like sometimes they'll just treat it as like, oh, okay, whatever. But yeah. Sometimes you got to like really push it and be like, you know what? This is really starting to affect my life. I ain't got time to wait. So
yeah, and that's what I said. I called another office today. I was like, you guys don't understand. It freaking hurts. I need to get it done.
Yeah, dude, I know how that feels. I've had a lot of dental issues because of riding BMX bikes and motocross and skateboards. And I did a lot of damage to my teeth, needless to say. And so I know how that, what that feeling is. There's nothing worse than cracking a tooth like completely in half and having that nerve exposed to like cold air.
Yep, I've done that before.
So how did you break your wisdom tooth?
I don't know. It just cracked.
Yeah. Maybe you had a cavity or something in it and it just broke.
I know. Yeah. We like bad enamel runs in my family. So.
Yep. And do you drink soda?
I used to. I don't really drink it anymore.
Yeah. But coffee can be acidic, I think, right?
Yep. I drink coffee every morning.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't know. It's one of those things. Some people have those issues. Some people don't. I don't. I have exceptionally strong. I'm on the opposite spectrum of you. I have exceptionally strong enamel to the point that I could go to the dentist and it not be several years and they barely have to clean my teeth.
Wow. That's nice.
Because like my enamel's so tough and like it does, like plaque doesn't stick to my teeth very easily.
Yeah.
Now my teeth do stain because I am a coffee drinker. Unfortunately, I use, you know, dip. And so that has kind of reared its ugly head a little bit. I need to do some teeth whitening and quit chewing. So I don't drink enough coffee to probably stain my teeth. I drink like one cup a day.
Yeah, me too. Like
one decent one, but I'm not an all day drinker of coffee and I drink a ton of water. So, but
yep.
But I don't know, Brad and I have, like we've been talking about, it's been hard to find some episodes this week. We've been reaching out to companies and stuff like that, and sometimes we get responses, sometimes we don't, and lately it's been a lot of no response backs. So, you know, no fault to any company or anything like that. It's just, it tends to kind of happen like that towards this part of the season when the shopping stuff's getting ready to ramp up, and it's hard for them to get back and, you know, have the time to deal with doing a podcast or whatever. So we're just going to talk about some top products from this past year. Brad's got a bunch. I ain't going to have very much to share just because I didn't fish a lot this year. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll revisit some stuff that we've talked about in the past or whatever. So,
yeah,
Brad, you want to start us out?
Well, I was going to say, even if you don't really have any products, we can always highlight something that caught your interest this year. And
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Whatever.
Start us out, bro.
Well, dude, I this year you were like, oh crap, he doesn't have anything to say.
It's like you just told me you had all this stuff to say.
Yeah, I know. It's just this year I completely redid my whole arsenal of rods and reels. So I was just gonna talk about that a little bit.
That was fun. That was cool.
What's that?
I said that was fun. That was cool. Like, you know, you went from having like random shit, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, that's not to give you a hard time by any means, because, you know, when, if you find something you like, use it, man. Who cares? I'm just weird that I'll stick to something, you know, stick to a brand, like with clothing. I'm just weird like that, man. I'll find something that I like and I wear the shit out of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, mine's always been Fenwick, but you were on, you had a wide variety of rods and reels.
I had a 13 fishing rod, which hated it, sucked. Fenwick HMG, that was probably my favorite one I had. I had a couple of those actually. Abby Garcia villain rod, and ended up breaking during a tournament in Indiana last year. Mm-hmm. So I was down to Ned Rig rod. And I don't know, there's like a couple more brands that I had, but I just wasn't super happy with any of them, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the Fenwick HMG, but I was just like, eh. $100 rod, you're not going to get that sensitivity. Yeah. So when I finally picked up one of Brian's Douglas rods and he let me use it, I was like, holy crap. Because these rods are like $189 for the LRS and $289 for the X-Matrix.
Yeah.
So I was like, holy crap, dude. I can feel every little rock. I could never do this before with my Fenwick HMG. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So that was probably the biggest upgrade that I've had for 2021 was the LRS rod and the X Matrix. I love that. Especially the X Matrix. That thing's awesome.
Yeah, man. Those are some seriously nice rods. With a really good price point too, you know? Like, it's I was impressed when, I mean, I haven't seen him in person, but, you know, from all the stories that I've heard, talking to Bailey, talking to you, talking to Brian, you know, and anybody else who's, I know that Armando's a big fan of him. Obviously, he's on their pro staff. You are now, Brian is. And it's, you guys have all been raving about it, man. I haven't really heard anything negative by any means.
Yeah. And it's funny because the first time Brian put it in my hands, he was just smirking at me. And he was just like, hold this. I'm like, okay. I'm like, picked it up. My head's like, holy crap, this thing's light.
Yeah.
And he did the same thing with Matt Gibson. Matt Gibson has one or two maybe now, I think. And he's like, yeah, that's some awesome rods. I like them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you get up in that $300 range, you know, it's a big difference, you know. Mm-hmm. And that like you said, how light, how sensitive they are. Because it's funny, I have a heavy action 7'6" Fenwick world class rod, and that's their like $299 rod, and it weighs, I think, less than my 7-foot medium heavy Fenwick. That's just the elite bass one. It feels like it, you know what I mean? That elite bass one feels kind of like a broomstick, you know, compared to it. But I like that. I really like my elite bass rod from Fenwick, because it's like I throw like chatterbaits on it. And, you know, like, I don't know. I just like the sort of like the heaviness to be able to rip those baits through the grass.
Yep.
Like that. And I use that a lot on the rivers when I start throwing like weighted swim baits and stuff like that. I don't know. For some reason, I really liked it, dude. And to tell you the truth, it was hilarious when I caught all those really nice bass on the that white popper that tournament that I did, that river or when I fished the river, I threw that
on the bigger dang, that's crazy,
and it worked flawlessly. I don't know why.
What was weird?
I mean,
is it a fast action?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I think it is. And what's funny though is, like, I mean, that popper is not a small one. It's a decent size. That's like a 3.5,
maybe
4-inch one. So it's got weight to it. So I mean, I can throw that thing a country mile with that rod and that reel setup. So
that's sweet.
But
I know I have one of the Labina Lures Ricos, and I throw it on like a 7-foot medium fast or 6'10" extra medium light. It's real fun on that thing, but
yeah,
those Ricos are smaller than what you're talking about though.
Yeah. But so the Douglas rods, man, I know you've been a big huge fan of it. They're sharp too. They look really nice.
They look good. Yeah, the that shade of blue and then the gray, obviously gray is my favorite color. I think I've said that plenty of times, but those two colors together, they look really good side by side.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, that's probably my top upgrade for the year for sure.
So what is your favorite thing about the rod series? Just the sensitivity difference?
Oh, yeah, sensitivity and the EVA foam. So I've never really used a rod with EVA foam. I've always used cork. Yeah. I just really like the feeling of it. It's nice and soft, and I don't know, it feels good in my hand.
Nice. All right.
You're going to make a joke there, weren't you?
I was going to, but I didn't.
It's all good. I knew it.
Oh, sorry. I'm tired. My mind's in the gutter. I don't know. Like I said before, I didn't really buy a lot this year. Everybody knows that I was in the Killer HD last year, and that's what I was in this year as well. So it just changed the color of the Battleship. So that wasn't anything different. Trying to think of any like baits that I got. I did fish this year a little bit, at the beginning of the year, and I had a lot of fun with it. Was throwing the Vision 110 Junior.
Oh yeah.
I didn't catch any fish with it. I didn't fish it that much, but I wanted to try that out. I bought that actually last year when we were up in the Lake Erie area, when it was like me and Mike and Brandon and Dylan and his brother, Braden. And we went to that that fishing store up there. What's that one up there? Oh, gosh, I just forgot the name of it. They used to sponsor one of the BKFT. Oh,
Fisherman Central?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. They had a new store up there, dude, and it was huge. And, like, the store's so big for just fishing stuff. Like, it was unreal, and it was only, like, a quarter full. And so we bought, you know, everybody. We were, like, kids in the candy shop. I think in that little, like, shopping trip, and we were just there to buy a couple baits, ended up being like $500 between all of us.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Mega bass though, man, they're expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. And I bought that, and I bought some dark sleepers, some more Kytex, and bought a bunch of stuff I didn't really need.
Yeah.
But the Vision 110 Junior was one that I bought, and it's a sharp looking lure. I'm excited to try to get some more time out on the water. I need to get out there now when it's cold.
I was about to say, man, right now.
Yeah, and it's a smaller profile, you know. But yeah, it's pretty sharp. That's probably one of my favorite things I bought this year.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up jerk baits, because that was going to be one of my things too. I'd never thrown one until this fall, actually. I went and got a Lucky Craft Pointer, though, 100 SP. Well, I take that back. When was that? Beginning of October, I started throwing the KVD 100s because my buddy lent me one. He was smashing them. I mean, I was throwing the big Joshy, and he was probably catching fish on the jerk bait like 4-1.
Oh, really?
So I was like, you got another one of those?
Who were you fishing with?
His name's Will Jones. He's from Troy area.
Okay.
I met him on Instagram. We met up and fished. But yeah, he was killing it. I was like, give me one of those, dude. I want to try one. So I ended up trading him one of my witty crankbaits for it, which I know it's not an even trade, but you know, I didn't really care. I was just like, you'll like that. It's wake bait. So I ended up throwing the KVD 100 and I caught fish with it. I was like, they are nailing this jerk bait. This thing's a lot of fun. I never really knew how fun it was, you know?
Yeah. So it's crazy when you start throwing those baits to match up with the season and you're like, man, what have I been doing this whole time? Because you know about it too.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like me, you get stubborn like in your ways and you're like, I'm just going to throw what I know because you have that comfort level and you know what the bites feel like. And you know, it's not that you don't have baits for those seasons. It's just that you're the kind of guy that you're so comfortable, say, throwing the Ned rig. That'd be hard to get the Ned rig out of your hands at this time of year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and then you're also like me, you hate losing expensive lures, and jerk baits are one of the top priced ones up there. So,
yeah, I lost two recently. So I lost the Lucky Craft Pointer and a X-Rat the same day. And I take that back. I lost a Spro Lil John the same day. So it was like a really expensive trip.
Yeah. That's what fishing is, man. It gets to be pricey when you start messing around with some of those lures, because some of those lures are expensive for a reason. It's not necessarily always about their quality. It's about the popularity too. You know, I mean, they are built better, usually have better hooks and things like that. But still, even at that, like, I know a lot of people that go and replace mega bass hooks, you know? Yeah.
So I've been exclusively throwing that Lucky Craft Pointer for probably the last 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, maybe. I haven't even touched the Ned rig, dude. I've been throwing the jerk bait because I've been having so much fun with it. And I've caught a couple 19s and 18 with it all within the last month. So it's been fun.
I've got actually I don't have a ton. You should see Dylan's collection.
Oh, I believe it.
Have you heard about like his obsession with buying Megabass Vision 110s, like the JDM ones that aren't here? And it's crazy. And he's got quite the collection. I have more jerk baits than I should have because I don't throw them that often. But I have some nice Lucky Craft ones and stuff like that from when I used to do the MTB box. Lucky Craft was one of their big suppliers, and I have a couple cool Sixth Sense ones. I think I might try next year is doing a Sixth Sense box. Brian was always impressed with their baits and stuff like that. And if you want to get into like throwing, well, they're mixing it up more now. Back then it was you got the hard baits and all kinds of cool crank baits and deep diving cranks, mediums, lows, you know, whatever. But so we both which crank bait you say that Lucky Craft's your favorite one?
Jerk bait?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lucky Craft for sure. So I've thrown that, the KVD 100 and the X-Rat over the last few months, and Lucky Craft's definitely my favorite. It's a bigger profile too. It's a 4-inch jerk bait and it like a really fat looking compared to the other. The other is long and slender.
Yeah. Trying to think. What else you got?
I upgraded all my reels as well. So that was a big upgrade to me. Switched over to Corrado DC's Stradic FL. I still got some lower end reels. I got a Fluger Supreme and Shimano Nasky. But other than that, I've completely upgraded my arsenal.
Yeah.
So I know I do have a Shimano SLX too, which is a lower end. But I want to upgrade those. I just don't think it's going to happen in 2022. But that's all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, Corrado DC, man, it's kind of changed how I throw certain baits, I guess you'd say. Like, because before I had trouble throwing like lighter baits, quarter ounce or lighter, but I can throw a quarter ounce, 3/16 with that thing, and it's not too hard.
Yeah. This is an old thing that I had last year, but still right now, it's one of my favorite things that I've bought in the past couple years is going to be, or gotten, is the Yak Gadget XD crate.
Oh, yeah. I think you mentioned that last year for this same episode at the end.
Yeah,
of the
year. Man. So even though I didn't fish though like a lot this year, every time I had that thing with me, it just constantly reminds me of how awesome it is.
Yeah.
You know, when I first saw the crate itself, we were like, "Hey, that's cool," but you kind of don't really get the full gist of it until you use it and realize, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's not as much plastic as say the Black Pack, you know, cause it's got this slanted profile and everything like that. And I wasn't sure if I liked that or not. Right. And, dude, it's a great thing. It makes figuring out what I'm grabbing so much easier.
Yeah.
You know, like it's unless you're
at Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Really, like, good about your placement of your boxes and where they're at, and you can remember it, which is not hard to do, but I would say, like, once you've pulled a box and you're trying to replace it, you know, are you going to be putting it in that same spot? That's where it would be a pain in the butt, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether you're going from top to bottom or bottom to top, you know, is it the first, second, third box, whatever? So having that visual and having the ability just to kind of turn around and see exactly what it is that you're grabbing a lot easier than, you know, like a full box that's
into the top.
Yeah. Even with the lid, like, I mean, I was like, I was always a fan of the Black Pack lid, even though I know it was loud and stuff like that. And it was kind of, I don't know, a little cumbersome because it had that weird bungee like system that was attaching it, but I always liked it because I felt like it was, you know, like it was, that stuff was going to stay closed, right?
Yeah,
flipped over or whatever. And with the Yak Gadget box, I was always kind of like, oh, this cover is kind of, you know, weird or whatever to me. Like, is it going to hold this stuff in? It, in my opinion, it should, you know, and it should hold well.
Heck, I drive with it in the back of my kayak and it no issues.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see like something made eventually as a lid, like a hard top lid, mm-hmm. You know, with like a hinge system on it. I think it can be done. I think it would just be a matter of like, you know, like having like an angle to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To bring it up and over. But I mean, that's another here or there, but that's not the reason why I like it. It's just, it's made life in a tackle, you know, in your tackle management so much easier in my opinion. So
I actually took out the dividers in mine.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
So I like it like that.
I think I have two dividers in mine. The way I have mine set up, I don't carry, I haven't put all my tackle together. Like I have, and then here's what I end up doing. So I have big boxes, right? And I have like all my crankbaits in one box, and then all of my jerkbaits, and then all the jigs and, you know, whatnot. The jig box is in the Plano Edge box now, and that comes with me. But a lot of times what I will do is pick out my baits and I'll put them in smaller boxes.
Yeah.
And when I do that, it gives me room to throw in my spinnerbait box in there and stuff like that. But the problem is then I get all like everything's mixed up. So then it's like, when I go to try to look for something, there's no organization within what I've consolidated into those smaller boxes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of need to take a step back, because that is one thing that I do that I think holds me back as an angler. For trying new things, right? Like I could be like, oh man, you know, maybe a jerk bait's good in this, and then I'm like, I got to dig for it. You know what I mean? Because yeah. I don't know what box it's. I mean, I'll have an idea what box it's in, but it's not. I don't have like a bunch
easily of accessible.
Yeah, I've got like maybe three jerk baits.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
So, and it's all mixed up, and then like I will. Yeah. What I'll end up doing is pulling a box, taking a lure out that I want next, and replacing it with the one I'm cutting off.
I do that too. Yep.
So I think what I need to do is maybe get a box or something that's like a catch. And instead of replacing that lure back into the box, I actually take it and put it back where it was supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And uh-huh. then get used to where they're at that way.
So what I do now is like I've said before, I've scaled way down on the river this year to where mm-hmm. I'm bringing one tackle box and then like my binder of TRDs or bugs or whatever. I have a one river box, and in that box, I have everything from swim baits. I have two jerk baits in there, a finesse jig, some topwater lures, you know, anything I would throw on the river. So,
yep.
I don't bring much out there with me. So when I do change something, like if I go from jerk bait to top water, I'll just throw it back in the spot where the top water was.
Yeah. It's a good idea. I've tried to do that. But then it all just gets jumbled together sooner or
later. Yeah. And if I'm on the lake, I bring all my tackle boxes. So I have a separate crankbait box and then a jig and chatterbait box. So yeah. But yeah, I know the feeling, because I do switch stuff around like that too.
Yeah. So yeah, if you guys are out in the market for a new, you know, tackle management box, definitely check out the Yak Gadget series. They're awesome. They have a lot of cool new products coming soon too, guys. So get on their website, pay attention. You're gonna see some stuff in the next couple months that. It's just going to add to their current arsenal of high quality accessories and stuff, man. A lot of, you know, they're really, really good with the management thing of, you know, paddles, rods, you know, your tackle management stuff for your boxes. And, you know, they've got mounts for motors, for, you know, they've got the manual power poles type system. It's awesome. So,
yeah.
Keep on the lookout. John's still innovating, so
like always, man.
Yeah. So what you got next on the list?
I was just gonna talk about some of my top baits for the year. I mean, you know, I didn't know what you had planned, but I know you didn't get to fish that much, but
go ahead.
I don't know. So seems like most of the year until towards the end of the summer, we had some higher and dirty water on the river. So I didn't get to fish top water much this year. I was determined to throw the Rico more this year and get better with the top. The popper, it just didn't happen. I threw the buzz bait and the plopper, and it was just a bad year for top water for whatever reason. I'm guessing water clarity had stuff to do with it, you know?
Yeah. But
Since the water clarity was poor for half the year, I was throwing the War Eagle disco lemonade that Michael Teach has coined the phrase of. It's all chartreuse with painted blades. I threw that quite a bit, and I caught a ton of fish on that lure in muddy conditions. And I don't know. It was fun to throw a spinnerbait because it kind of brought me back to when I was younger, because that's spinnerbaits and crankbaits is what I threw going fishing with my dad.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool, man. Just
what were you throwing your spinnerbaits on and how big?
Three-eighths ounce on a 7'4" rod, medium heavy,
yeah,
fast action. So yeah, man, that was a blast. I had fun. I caught a pike using that lure. Caught multiple sawguy using it. Caught bass using it. It was a good year. I do got to throw in the custom Jigmasters spinnerbait.
Yeah.
I think it's an Indiana blade. It's not quite Colorado because it's like, you know, it's leaf shaped.
Yeah.
He made me a custom all black spinnerbait with a black painted Indiana blade. And I mean, it was a magnum, huge blade, and it thumped. It thumps harder than like a jackhammer.
Yeah.
I had one of the best days on the river using that thing this year in muddy conditions. So, nice. Yeah, I ended up losing it. Like 2 miles down the river, I was so mad. I was like, dude, that spinnerbait was freaking sweet. Did you
get snagged on a rock or?
I casted it off somehow. I don't even.
Oh, yeah.
I just slung it and it just saw it like sailing away. It's like, oh, sweet. Cody, if you're listening to this, man, I need to get back with you because that thing was awesome. Yeah. He makes some great spinnerbaits.
Let's reach out to him, man.
Yeah, I just haven't had the time yet.
But I've always kept hearing about the black spinner baits with orange blades on them. I'd like
to have one.
Somebody make one of those for me.
Cody would probably do it. They sell some.
I don't know. I don't want a giant magnum one though, man.
You know, if you're gonna get like a Colorado blade one, you want something with a lot of thump. You're only gonna throw that in muddy water,
right? At nighttime. I heard they're awesome at night.
Yeah, that's one thing I want to try next year. Fishing, especially East River Landing over here by me, I want to try fishing that in the middle of the night in the summertime.
Yeah. Oh yeah. What else you got, dude? What other kind of baits? I didn't really throw a lot. I mean, I threw a white top or a popper and had that spectacular day, but that's nothing new. I mean, that's a tried and true, you know, great topwater smallmouth or so.
Yeah. I threw the Tokyo rig in the river quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you raved about that all year.
It was fun, man. I don't know. Just trying something new.
Became Japanese this year. He was all about the Tokyo rig. He was like,
I caught 220s on that thing this year.
I mean, it's really just like a good way of throwing a drop shot in the river that's not going to get destroyed or you're going to snag it on everything when you think.
Yeah, it's like a drop shot slash jig.
Yeah.
So when we went up north, I started throwing that thing and we were catching some awesome fish on it. Like, man, I need to try this in the river. If the smallmouth are hitting it here, they're gonna hit it in the river.
Yeah,
I ended up trying it. I found a spot up here that had a super deep drop off, went from like 3 foot down to 18 foot, and I just dragged it all the way down there. I nailed like a 29 inch carp and some smallmouth.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Yeah, it's a cool lure because you can put some weight on it. It doesn't snag very easy on rocks, and
a half ounce weight on it, you get to like 25 feet in like 4 seconds. It's pretty quick.
Heck yeah. Yeah, dude, you were a big fan of that. I mean, it was crazy to see throwing it in a river too. Like, you know, you haven't really heard anybody doing that, especially even around here. And you kind of figured out a good technique to throw out there when all its fails and you need to get a bait and keep it pinned just off the bottom. You know,
yeah. So
what
were
you using? What do you like to use as your trailer or as your
bait? Missile Baits D Baby D Bomb? That was a good one. And then the Berkeley Chigger Crawl, that was another good one.
Yeah.
And it was funny because there's this one certain bridge in Dayton, and Justin was casting at it, casting at it, casting at it. I come right behind him with a toga rig, throw it in there and catch a fish.
You should try throwing like a fluke style bait or something like that on it.
I thought about that.
You know, not necessarily like Kytec, but something with a, you know, a little bit of a wave to it or something weird like that. Like, you know, like a good minnow. Like a
diamond tail or something.
Yeah, anything. I mean, I wouldn't throw something paddle tail at all. You wouldn't need the thump. Because yeah. I mean, if you really think about that, that bait is actually used technically. It was like a punching style rig.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's, you're gonna bring up, you know, your bait is gonna be sitting what, you know, three to four inches off, about 3 inches off the the bottom. And it's just gonna look like a bait fish, kind of, you know, chilling at the bottom, you know, scooting around a little bit. And I don't think you'd have to really put a paddle tail on it, you know.
Yeah, I don't.
Because if you're fishing the bottom and you know that they're down there, you're going to be going right in front of them, you know.
Yep. I know my buddy Matt, he was throwing the Senko on it. I was like, that's a good idea. I never even thought about trying that.
Yep. Well, you know, and you're not fishing it quick, you know. You're kind of drag pausing. So.
Yeah, drag it and then let it sit and then just shake the rod tip. And that's the thing that. Like, I picture that bait in the water just going like this when I'm shaking the rod tip, just barely.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Heck yeah. I'm trying to think of anything if I had to add stuff. Did I use anything different? You go ahead. I'll think.
There was one more. Big Joshy, that was the other one. I know it's very well known here in Ohio, but if you're not throwing the Big Joshy in other parts of the country, you need to throw it because that thing is amazing.
Yeah. If you're a smallmouth river person in Ohio, especially central Ohio and southwest Ohio, I don't know how popular they are in other places in Ohio, but in our areas, they've been fished and talked about for years now. They just flat out produce good fish. They have all kinds of different sizes. If you're a river guy, a lot of the guys are fishing the two and a halfs to three and a halfs, like that range.
2 3/4 and 3 1/4.
Yeah,
they got 5-inch ones too, though.
Yeah, but they're not nearly as popular in the river,
right?
As those two other two sizes are, and you know, guys are throwing them on simple ball headed jigs up to. What did I see Ryan throwing them on? He was throwing them on the Jig Masters. Oh, you were throwing them on the Jig Masters,
dude. That's another product. That, so I was using ball head jigs at the beginning of the year. I switched over to the jig head sled heads after I saw Ryan use them. I was like, that's a great idea. My Big Joshy would slide down the ball head jig hook. After I get snagged, I'd do the bow and arrow snap to get it unsnagged. It would rip the back of the Joshy. I'm like, I'm getting tired of this. I'm going through so many Big Joshies because they're soft. Got the sled heads. They have the little corkscrew where you can screw it on.
Mm-hmm.
I have had the same Joshy on the same sled head since I bought the things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it lasts 30 minutes more.
The only issue I have with those sled head jig heads that Cody's making is I'm bending their hooks out a lot. Not completely out, but like a little bit. So,
well, the ball head jigs I was using were Eagle Claw Laser Eye or something. Yeah. So they were cheap.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not bending them out like bad. And it usually comes on snags. So it's kind of given that that's probably going to happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I think when I was using, I was throwing, because I'm throwing like, I think when they got quarter inch, mm-hmm. Do they have a 1/8 inch one? I can't remember. I think he does. I think so. But I was bending them, but I was also throwing it on a medium heavy action rod. So,
yeah.
You know, I was tugging on the shit to get it off there. So, Those are definitely cool baits. And that was one that I did get into throwing to this year was I not the big Joshy specifically, but one day I did go out with Ryan. He's like, hey, throw these big Joshies. He's like, and I was like, well, guess what, dude? I happen to have some of the Jig Masters ones. And he's like, he got stoked because I had the lighter ones. We needed it because it was one of the days because the river was down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really weird that you said what you said earlier because, like, when I was fishing and I would go out, the river was always down and it was clear. And you must have been always going out when it was high and it was muddy.
Because yeah.
I was like, what is he talking about, dude? We had this huge drought this year. It was like the river was down, like, all summer long, like, for the most
part. I was talking about before. It was probably June and before, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It seems like it was just dirty at the beginning of the year.
I mean, it's always like that, springtime normally.
Yeah,
you know, but once after June, dude, is like all the way up through till October, we barely super had any rain. So,
yep. But yeah, now it's it's at a good level and it's super clear. Like even after the rain we got last week, I went out last Saturday. And I was like, holy crap!
Did you go out on Sunday? You said you're going to go out in the cold rain.
No, because my tooth ended up hurting real bad. So I was like, yeah. Screw it.
If you guys aren't watching us on video, Brad's holding his cheek because his tooth hurts.
Yeah.
All right, let me think. I didn't go very often, so nothing's like popping in my head of something that I used that was different. Any gear, clothing wise? No.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
No, sorry. It was just a very uneventful year. Hopefully I'll have some cool things to talk about next year. I've been pretty lame this year.
That's all good, man. Getting back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I don't got much else. You know, I just thought we'd talk about some baits and new products and stuff.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Not the most eventful episode. Like I said, it's that time of year. It gets to be hard to kind of book some of these, especially when we start winding down on our season. We'll be shutting it down. I think our last PNF episode is going to be December 12th, and we'll be down up and through the 3rd or 4th of January. So we got about a 2 to 3 week vacation coming up. So we got one more episode to do. That'll be it for the year. I do have like a really cool one. I was trying to get booked before the end of the year for us. I'm just having some trouble getting in contact with them. Like I said, it's a clothing company. Mike, if you're listening, I contacted them, dude. So hopefully, we'll get some response back soon. But, if not, maybe we can record over the break and we'll have it locked and loaded for next year and start out with a cool one. So Brad, I think you'll like it. I know our River Rat buddies around here will love it. It's a really cool idea. So look forward to that one. And anything else, dude?
Nope. I don't know what we got planned next week, but we'll figure something out.
Maybe we can get maybe we'll just do a round table. We'll invite some of our crew on to join us.
We could do that.
Not worst like products of 2021. No, I'm talking about like some of our buddies around here.
Oh yeah, that'd be fun.
So, all right. Yep. Everybody, thank you for listening again, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
Yep. See you guys.
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery, Waypoint TV.